I'm Veronica Scaresbury. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. Halloween has only very recently become popular here in Italy, and while it has been adopted as a fun moment, its origins may sometimes be misunderstood. According to some, it could have frightening implications. I myself heard one parish priest warn parents and children against the danger of satanic sects latching onto it. In an effort to find out more about this popular feast day which falls on the eve of All Saints, I turned to a parish priest from England. A familiar voice for regular listeners, he's Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who beyond serving two parishes back home, is also the coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as the 2008 European Capital of Culture. I began by asking him to comment on the parish priest's remark I heard in church last Sunday. Here in Italy, they spoke about Halloween and warned people against the influence satanic groups might have on Halloween. Is there a connection with satanic groups, or is it just the fear of Halloween being used by satanic groups, do you think?
I think before talking about Halloween specifically, I'd just like to say I get a bit worried how easily people use the term Satanism and satanic. The French bishops published a document last year about Satanist tendencies in contemporary youth. And I read the document very carefully, and I wasn't asked to do it, but I wrote to the president of the French Bishops' Conference and said what worried me in the document, and he was very much in agreement with me. And one of the things I'd said was that the author seems to see the devil around every corner. And the cardinal said to me personally later, yes, you're absolutely right, that's his character. It's quite easy to go from talking about sects to talking about satanic sects. Satanism is specifically a vicious rejection of Christianity, or Judaism, as it happens as well, because Satanism is only born in reaction to Christianity, aggressive reaction, a fight against. But many sects just ignore the mainline religions or see themselves as an alternative way of coping with life or getting the best out of life or things like that. Magic becomes a question of dominating the powers of the universe, the forces of life. Satanism always refers itself to the devil. So to use the word satanic, I think you have to be careful. That's all I'm saying. It's easy to use it, but it's often used wrongly. Halloween makes me think of many things. Most people today think of what they can buy in their local supermarkets or shops, which are witches' hats and cloaks and all sorts of things associated with witchcraft. But I don't really know why they have gone into witchcraft, because I grew up with a very, very different experience of Halloween. Halloween was always a time to stay at home in the family where I grew up. And I've confirmed this recently with people in my new parish where I am. They had exactly the same experience. We'd stay at home and we'd practice something called duck apple. I know it has pagan links, but we weren't being pagans. We were just having fun. And the idea was partly, this is a very holy time of the year, a very spiritual time of the year. And in the oldest forms of Christianity in the British Isles, there was always a touch of the paganism that there had been beforehand. And this was supposed to be a kind of seam in the year where we were closer than ever to the spirit world. And the fact that it was All Hallows' Eve, the eve of All Saints' Day, meant that it wasn't just the good spirits that were about, but also bad ones. This is a very ancient fear that people had, and I think that's why we stayed in the houses. We stayed home to be safe and to be in our families, but the whole of family life has changed, and the dreadful commercial version of Halloween has come, probably from the United States, which is much more concerned with things like trick or treat. And now it's become a time when old people are afraid to stay in their homes, in my country anyway, because they're bombarded by these visits from people dressed as ghosts or ghouls, demanding money or sweets or something, and if they don't get it, they often damage the property, or they certainly frighten people. Their very appearance frightens a lot of old people. So I've asked the people in my parish, the parents, to do two things. One was to make sure they know exactly where their children are on Wednesday night this week. And the other was, maybe if they can get away with it, as I put it in the church newsletters, to say a particular prayer with the children at the evening meal. Many people don't sit down for an evening meal anymore, but it might be an excuse to do so. And just say this prayer, which I modified from the ordinary missal, from the Feast of the Purification, which talks of light and candles and the light that Christ is. One group wanted to stage a service of light on Halloween evening in the church, but they asked so late that they had no time to prepare it. So there are ways of dealing with Halloween, which I don't think we need to go to the extreme of saying it's a satanic invasion. It most certainly is not. There may be odd groups latching onto it, but Halloween itself has a very respectable Christian history. It is also to do with a Celtic tradition that I don't know how to say, Savain or Samain, I'm not sure, so sure how you say it. But it has been Christianised, and I don't think we should lose that.
There's a well-known Catholic school in England called All Hallows. It's a prep school, no? It used to be quite a common wording, All Hallows, no?
Yeah, most of the missionary priests from Ireland who were not in religious orders, the ones who were specifically ordained to work abroad, went through the seminary in Dublin called All Hallows. But people tend to forget that. I like to remind people every year that the Feast of All Saints is also called All Hallows in an older language, hence Halloween. There is an inevitable connection with the following day, which I think is a nice preparation, really.
So when you were in the seminary, were you told about All Saints as All Hallows? Or?
No, we just refer to it as All Saints. But I've always thought of it as All Hallows as well, but that's me in language. I love to know where words come from, so...
You said it was a very spiritual moment in the year. Do people in your parish relate to the Feast of All Saints?
I think it's probably a universal experience that, except where people are very theologically educated, they're much more interested in the day after, which is All Souls. So it's quite odd that the Holy Day of Obligation is All Saints, but the day when people really want to go to Mass is All Souls, because there's this enormous respect and love for our dead relatives and friends. I'm in a situation where I'm operating in two parishes at the moment, and on a weekday would normally say Mass in one of them, but I've had to put an extra Mass on for All Souls in both of them. I think I'd say it's a need, an urgent need for them to pray for their dead at that time. Theologically, All Saints would be more significant, but in fact, pastorally, we have to make space for people on All Souls too.
Why did you say theologically it would be more significant, All Saints?
Because from our baptism on, I suppose even before, if we but knew it, we're all called to become holy. And a saint means holy, or holy means saint. We forget the link, because holy has become used almost technically of particular actions that we do or particular styles of being a person. In the old days, I mean the very old days, Apostle Paul used to write to the saints, to all the saints in the various churches he'd founded or visited around Asia Minor and the Mediterranean. The Christians were called the saints. And if we're all called to holiness, we're called to an enormous, you might say, happy family of people who are at home with God. And I don't mean simply the ones in heaven. I mean also the ones who here on earth find it quite wonderful to be able to live a life close to God, which is what holiness really is. It's not being boring and sitting in church all the time and uttering pious sentences. It is being close to God, and the most useful form of being close to God is when other people recognise you as having got something from your relationship with God that they would like to have as well. Holiness ought to be catching, like the many diseases we have around the place. It would be great to have a disease, an outbreak of holiness, an epidemic. And I think that's what All Saints is about.
Our thanks there go to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who, beyond serving two parishes in England, is also coordinator for Catholic contribution to Liverpool's year as the 2008 European Capital of Culture. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.